Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Chester RP Church Devotional Podcast. I'm Clint Davis, your host. Hey, thanks for being with us. Mitch is going to bring us in. We're in Genesis 30, story of Jacob and Rachel and Leah. We'll be back.
Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us as we get started this morning. We will do so in the grace and mercy of God, but also as we turn our attention to Genesis chapter 30. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she envied her sister. "Give me sons or I will die," she said to Jacob. Now Jacob became angry with Rachel and said, "Am I in the place of God? He has withheld offspring from you." Then she said, "Here is my maid Bilhah. Go sleep with her and she will bear children for me, so that through her I too can build a family." So Rachel gave a slave, Bilhah, to Jacob his wife, and he slept with her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. And Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. Yes, he has heard me and given me a son." So she named him Dan. Rachel's slave Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "I am wrestling with God. I have wrestled with my sister and won." And she named him Naphtali. Now Leah saw that she had stopped conceiving children. She took her slave Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. And Leah's slave Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune!" And she named him Gad. When Leah's slave Zilpah bore Jacob a second son, Leah said, "I am happy that all women call me happy." So she called him Asher. Now Reuben went out during the wheat harvest and found some mandrakes in the field, and when he brought them to his mother Leah, Rachel asked, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But Leah replied to her, "Isn't it enough that you have taken my husband? Now you also want to take my son's mandrakes?" "Well then," Rachel said, "he can sleep with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes." And when Jacob came in from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come with me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So Jacob slept with her that night. God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving my share to my husband." And she named him Issachar. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. "God has given me a good gift," Leah said. "This time my husband will honor me because I have borne six sons for him." And she named him Zebulun. Later Leah bore a daughter and named her Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son. And she said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph. And said, "May the Lord add another son to me." Now I'm going to tell you, Jacob's in a bad spot right here. He's got two wives, Leah and Rachel, their sisters. They're angry with each other. They're in competition with one another. Leah knows that Jacob loves Rachel more than he loves her. Leah knows that she was put in a position by her husband to be married to a man who didn't want to marry her, but she was forced to marry that man, or he was forced to marry her by her father Laban. They have a bitter rivalry, a sibling rivalry that's going on and on and on and on and on throughout the entirety of their lives. And so now poor Jacob finds himself in a situation, and he obviously is probably at fault. I'm not saying he's not at fault in any way, shape, or form. But you can imagine the situation. The sibling rivalry taking place, Jacob has got fault in the mess as well. And so this is a dysfunctional home from the word go. Well, Leah starts bearing children. Rachel can't bear any children. That upsets Rachel. So then Rachel gives her servant, Bilhah, to Jacob to bear children, and she bears children. And so Rachel takes those children as her own. Well, then Leah can't bear any children, so she gives her maidservant Zilpah to Jacob to bear children, and she starts bearing children, and Leah takes those children on, and so now they're fighting back and forth. Jacob is going back and forth between wives and slave girls, and these children are being born into the world, and these happy occasions of the childbirth is actually being somewhat clouded by the fact that these two women are fighting amongst themselves and they've got all these issues and there's all kind of rivalry going on. Jacob's in a bad spot. There's two things I want to mention. Number one, taking matters into our own hands, which was the normal practice of the day, never really works out. So the practice was of the day was if the wife couldn't conceive, she would give a slave girl, and then the slave girl would, quote, be a surrogate mother, and then the wife would receive the new baby and take the baby into the family. And as a result of that, there was tremendous issues there, right? As a result of that, there were tremendous rivalries. As a result of that, there was tremendous dysfunction. And so in those days when they would do that, everybody's living together, and of course everybody has got issues, there's no agreement, etc. beforehand. And so as a result of that, there is the sex act being committed, then there is the conception, and then there is the bearing of the child, the caring of the child, the bearing of the child. And we saw the same thing happen with Sarah and her maid servant. And as a result of that, Hagar, and as a result of that, we had all kind of issues. The same thing's happening here. And so these women are trying to take matters into their own hands. Jacob is complicit in this, just as Abraham was, and this was a practice of the day, but it never works out well to try to take things and take matters into our own hands. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I want to note here, these women are upset about the fact that they can't bear, or Rachel in particular, she can't bear, then Leah later, she can't bear children anymore. Because an identity for that woman in that society, that culture, was tied up in her ability to bear children, especially a son for her husband. But I want to take a moment to say, I think, first of all, that's natural. I think God gives us a desire to reproduce. That's the command on Adam and Eve. Be fruitful and multiply. And I think as a whole, the majority of people, men and women, want to multiply. And there's pressure, especially on women, to do that. So certainly that's a reality. But I think secondly, though, I want us to note that the Bible never talks about, in great description, the woman's beauty and her, and never places value on her in her ability to bear a child. So we see three examples of barrenness in the Old Testament. You've got Sarah, Rachel, and Hannah. And all three of them are loved by their husbands. Their identity as far as children of God is not tied up in that. Their identity is that they are loved by God, they are loved by their husbands, and they are cared for, and God is using them to accomplish something great. And so I think that's an important point for us as we live in our modern world. A lot of pressure put on each other, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and the reality of it is that our identity as the people of God, especially for a woman, is not found in her beauty, and it's not found in her ability to bear children. Rather, it's found in the fact that she is a child of the living God, made in His image, and has inherent dignity as a result of that, and should be treated accordingly. So I think that's a two very valuable and important lessons in this passage. You guys have a great day. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Mitch takes us home as we think about how the Savior leads us all the way home.
You care.